Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. I would first of all like to say that we're gathered here in Fort Worth for our USMEF Strategic Planning Conference, and this is a meeting where we meet with all of our constituencies, which is nine different sectors of the USMEF. Our international directors come here, and what we do is we lay out our plans and the situations, if you will, regarding all of the various markets that we deal in. Actually, U.S. meat today is in over 110 countries around the world. So actually, if you look at our global footprint, it's become quite large, especially in the course of the last 10 years, where we've really branched out and really tried to address new markets, as well as service the existing ones that we're doing very well in. I think when you take a look at the statistics for this year, you can see that on a value basis on the beef side, we're up about 10%. We're up only about 1% on a volume basis, but I think a strong finish here towards the end of the year. On the pork side, we're down about 5%, both in volume and value. And then on the lamb side, we've been doing pretty well as far as being up about 3% on the lamb area and about 5%, I think, when it comes to the volume. But I think when we take a look at this year, I think the first thing I think that we're reminded of is this is going to be 10 years now since the advent of BSC. That will be next month will be the 10 years. And if you take a look at the 10 years, we still have some unfinished business when it comes to BSC. If we start out, I think I kind of look at it kind of like there's almost five nations that we have to deal with when it comes to these major access issues. Number one being Australia. Australia has done a risk assessment in the United States, and they've had a team to the United States. But at this point in time, our number one competitor on beef around the world still has not opened up its market to the United States. And we see this as basically something that's almost egregious at this time. And when you take a look at the international standards, the amount of scholarship and research that's gone into the BSC, this is something that we need to address because it's our number one competitor internationally, and it does have opportunity for our products in that market. I think the other market that Joel Haggard, who is here, will talk about in much more detail would be the Chinese market. It is the fastest growing beef market in the world. Everyone is looking to that market as far as the opportunities for beef. We just saw here this morning that actually over the last 5 years, the beef prices have gone up 80% in China. So there's tremendous growth in China as that economy continues to perform. And it's a market that for the last 10 years we've been left out of. And we really feel that it takes a long time sometimes to get back into a market. And we really look forward this year, I think, to our government engaging the Chinese and actually doing something quite meaningful. Saudi Arabia is another vaccine market for us. John Brook will talk about that, but we see that as the Middle East has become a strong performing area for us. I think John would probably attest to the fact that he started covering the Middle East that had something to do with it. But frankly, there's a lot of dynamics going on in the Middle East, and we're there, and we're very focused in that market because there's obvious growth there. When we look at Mexico, a very close neighbor of ours and a very important market of ours, there's still about five items left remaining as far as our exports. And then when we take a look at Russia, Russia is a market that closed to us, not really because of BSC, but because of other concerns as far as ractopamine. We see this as a market that we need to address, and we're glad to see that maybe the United States is making a little bit of progress in dealing with the Russians at this point in time. I think another area that I think is a very big opportunity, I spent some time talking about some of the problem areas here, but when we start talking about opportunities, I think the TPP and the TTIP, the TPP being the Asian Free Trade Agreement, if you will, and TTIP being the European one, both of these agreements, both of these initiatives portend, I think, strong sales, strong opportunities for us going far into the future. When we look at TPP, it's just about completed. There's been 19 sessions concluded in TPP. When we look at that, probably the biggest plum in that whole agreement is going to be the fact that Japan joined TPP. Japan has tremendous opportunities as far as a market for our products. There's a strong appreciation for our pork. We're doing very well in that market. We have about 27% market share. So we see opportunity though on the pork side as well as the beef side as that duty would erode in Japan. I think when we look at TTIP, we've had more of a, it's been a rougher road in actually dealing with Europe over the last 30 years, but there are opportunities in Europe, and John will address those as well. I think lastly, I would just like to close by saying that, you know, the Farm Bill, Steve alluded to this in his remarks, but the Farm Bill is very important to us, especially from the standpoint of the trade title. Within the Farm Bill, there's what they call the MAP program and also the Foreign Market Development Program. And obviously without a Farm Bill, which the current extension we will be expired by the end of December, we really definitely need to have something going forward, because the Farm Bill not only impacts the U.S. Meat Export Federation, but there's about 80 other organizations like ours that are working assiduously in the international markets to promote the $145 billion worth of agricultural exports we have, which is one of the largest industries. It's in the black when it comes to the trade perspective. So we see this as being very, very critical going forward. And also this affects the Foreign Agricultural Service. In all these countries around the world, we have agricultural attachés. Their members or people who are affiliated with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they will not be able to do the reporting and a lot of the work that we've enjoyed from them over the years. So not having a Farm Bill is going to really impact one of the brightest spots when it comes to U.S. agriculture. I would just like to close with the numbers that I think that every person here who's involved in the beef industry, the pork industry, likes to hear. For the value per head of a fed steer or a fed animal that's presented for slaughter, it's about $253 a head. And that's what the export dividend is. That's up $46 from where it was last year. So $253 per head is what that export dividend is. And when we take a look at the pork complex, we're getting about $52 for every hog that we slaughter. That's what's going into the export market. So the export market is really the difference between profit and loss in agriculture, especially in the U.S. red meat industry. So with that, I'll stop and I'll turn it back over to Joe